The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here's Dan Ruzanowski.
Drew Ameda is going to be on the show with me during the course of the Stanley Cup Playoffs, but this one's a solo shot. I am really excited to talk about what has been a spectacular first round thus far. All sorts of great moments. You've had everything from outstanding goaltending to tremendous dramatic plays to the glass popping out after fans were banging on them, causing a delay, a fight to start a game, and so much more. Let's get right to it and talk about game number three between the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars. Just an incredible, incredible night. And in fact, the goaltending was a huge part of it. With the score 3-2 in favor of Minnesota, all of a sudden, it was a young goaltender named Volstead that came up huge.
Duchesne, top of the right circle. Up high, Hayes getting a shot, blocked out in front. Now loose. Robertson a shot, shouldered away, Volstead.
That was a great save on that shoulder stop, and he made another save with the score 3-2 Minnesota during a power play.
In the slot, Haskinen forced it back right side. Rantanen grabs it off the dasher. Centering feed, big save, Volstead. Maybe grazing off the iron as well as Wyatt Johnston was open in the slot.
Wyatt Johnston, remember that name for a little bit later, but Matt Duchesne, somebody who scored some big goals against the San Jose Sharks, would end up getting the tying goal for Dallas.
Loose puck battle, Spurgeon tipped off to McCarron. It was stolen. Duchesne to Rantanen in right circle, dancing, waiting, backdoor pass, they score. Duchesne wide open, Volstead out of position, and this game is tied at 3.
And that set things to overtime, and that's where Jake Oettinger on the other side of the ice made a pretty big save on his own part.
Boldy cut past one check from the goal line, ripped it up high. Faber from his skate to his stick blade, waiting, shooting one. Oettinger just fought it off with a blocker save.
That was a big stop in overtime by Jake Oettinger. And then Volstead again, huge stop in overtime, the second overtime period.
Loose puck picked up by Eriksson Ek, shook past one check, and he get it out? He could not. Jamie Benn with it right circle. Numbers down low. Eriksson Ek's out of the play. Benn waits down low. A shot. What a stop, Volstead! To his left. He kept it out on a one-timer by Esa Lindell.
But what it came down to was practice, practice, practice. And Wyatt Johnston, who spent a lot of time with former Shark Joe Pavelski in the early stages of his career, took a page out of Joe's playbook on the game winner.
Robertson with it. His pass to Haskinen. High slot center point. A shot. They score. It's hipped in front. Volstead got a chunk of it. And the Stars win the marathon game number three. 4-3 in double overtime, and they've got a 2-1 best of seven series lead.
Jesper Volstead has been outstanding in goal for Minnesota, but on this particular play, Wyatt Johnston comes through with a tip that you take it out of Joe Pavelski's playbook directly. And in fact, after the game, that's exactly what Johnston talked about.
I think it's always been, you know, part of my game, but I think, you know, obviously living with Joe Pavelski, he was one of the best to ever do that, you know, tipping pucks and just around the net. And so I think that's something I've really tried to add to my game and work on the last last couple of years, especially coming in the league, just, you know, seeing from Joe how much he could produce and how much he could do with just, you know, tipping pucks and just little plays around the net. So, I think it's always been a little bit of, you know, part of my game, but I think it's really, I've really tried to, you know, add to it, and we've got to get a lot of thanks to Joe Pavelski for, you know, what he's helped me and, you know, taught me in that way. You know, be, you know, I don't know if this is the right word, but a little grittier, just kind of getting pucks there. Obviously, you know, it's a bit of a cat and mouse game come playoff time, especially come, you know, power play penalty kill, and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of penalty power plays both ways this game. So just, I think, trying to get pucks there, and I think that's when we, you know, that kind of allows us to, you know, play our game and start making those little plays to the middle and low plays that we, you know, have been doing all year. So I think it was just kind of emphasizing on just, you know, maybe simplifying things a little bit and not, you're not necessarily going for the home run right away.
That is Wyatt Johnston, who scored the game-winning goal in double overtime for the Dallas Stars. 12 minutes and 10 seconds into that extra session, and so now it's going to be Dallas with a 2-1 lead in that best-of-seven series. Post-game, head coach John Hines of the Minnesota Wild was pretty philosophical and looks forward to getting to Game 3.
I mean, I think it was there at times. It wasn't there enough. Obviously, they scored more than we did on the power play, so we'll dive into that too. We knew coming into the series that's going to be a big part of it, so we got to be better there. Well, we lost it tonight, so it's not good enough. But we knew, coming in, it's going to be a factor in it. And I would say that, we had it in game one. We didn't have it, and we didn't have it tonight. So, but we knew coming in, that's it. And we got 2 days in between games and see if we can get it rolling here. I think the fact that we have a couple days in between games is a good thing for that. But, our group knows, and we talk about it. It's true in the playoffs. Like, If you win big, it's going to be a different game the next game. If you lose in regulation or overtime or lose big, it's always a reset that you don't get too high and you don't get too low and you stay focused on what we can control. And now it's our preparation for game four.
And they get another last change in Minnesota, although they lose this game at home by the score of 4-3. They won 6-1 in game one against Dallas and ended up losing game two by the score of 4-2. So I think the series is into balance right now. And, you talk about, great teams that could go all the way to the Stanley Cup final playing against each other in the first round. And some people complain about that, but not a bit of it for me. I think this is just exciting hockey, a tremendous rivalry. And let's not forget about the fact that the Dallas Stars started their career in Minnesota. And so there's a natural sort of kinship and a certain rivalry between these two franchises that you can't forget about either. Exciting action, and of course game four will be on April the 25th, and that's of course on Saturday night between the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars.
We continue now with the Stanley Cup playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We stick with the Western Conference and we go to Colorado hosting Los Angeles. No chance for the Los Angeles Kings, right? Well, wrong. Yes, Colorado does have a 2-0 lead after the two contests in Denver, but both of them very tight games, both of them 2-1 scores, and one of them went into overtime. And so let's go through game number one. Arturi Lehkonen gave the Avalanche the early lead.
McKinnon, 77.8%. Can't win this one. Nate's just trying to get around Anderson. Puck is free. McKinnon has it towards the net. Save made. Forsberg. Rebound. Score! We're up all night to get lucky. Mr. Dependable, always when you need him, Arturi Lehkonen cashes in on the doorstep. His 27th career goal in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the deadlock is broken. The ice is cracked. 4:31 to go in the second. Lehkonen has the Avalanche up 1-0.
Now, Connor McGehee got pretty excited on that one, and he would stay excited when Logan O'Connor made it 2-0.
And barely out of the zone, off a fingertip. Drury back with it. Sends it off a stick. Here's Logan O'Connor off the weird bounce. O'Connor, he scores! OC's playing, baby! The first one got called back because of goaltender interference. This was a broken play at the Kings line. Not many knew where the puck was except for Logan O'Connor. Over the head of Edmondson, over the broken stick, and he goes high glove on Anton Forsberg. For Logan O'Connor, it's his third goal in his last two playoff runs, and the Avalanche have doubled their lead. It's 2-0 Colorado.
Now, Los Angeles wasn't going anywhere. They were going to make it a 2-1 game, but it came down to the final seconds.
Poked aside. Kings able to steal it with 10 seconds left. Batted in off the far boards. Makar off the glass. That will ricochet into the King zone. As Nelson tries to track it down, lifts the stick. Puck goes to the corner. 2 seconds, one. Sound the horn. The Avalanche take game one, and in the chaos that ensues after the final whistle and horn, it won't matter. Because the Avalanche win game one on home ice by a final score of 2-1.
On we go to game number two, Los Angeles in Denver, Colorado. Artemi Panarin, just an outstanding acquisition from the New York Rangers, gives the Kings the 1-0 lead.
Trevor Moore throws a back door, wide open, they score. Panarin again. A play that should have been down ice. The faceoff is put in the Colorado zone. And the Kings get another gift and take a 1-0 lead with 6:56 to go in the third period of Game 2.
Well, Connor McGehee wasn't too excited about that play by Artemi Panarin, but he did get pretty excited when Gabriel Landeskog, the captain of the Avalanche, tied the game 1-1.
Landeskog will take the faceoff. Anderson, pretending like he had an issue with his equipment, goes to the bench. Now he comes back on. McKinnon can't get the puck off the faceoff win from Landeskog. Taves keeps it alive. Shot towards the net. Thrown in front. Landeskog scores! Oh, captain! My captain! With 3:35 to go in the third period, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, this is a tie hockey game! Taves kept it in. It was deflected by Landeskog. Nate just gave it back to Landeskog, who tapped it into a wide-open net. A little bit of a broken play. Pitch and catch between Nate and Landeskog. And the captain comes in clutch. 1-1 with 3.5 left in regulation.
Pretty dramatic goal by the captain of the Avalanche, Gabriel Landeskog, so late in the third period to get the game tied up. And then it went to overtime, and Nicholas Waugh, who's been in some pretty big playoff games over the course of his NHL career, got the game-winning goal at 7:44.
Deep one-timer, shot tipped wide. That chance from Kivi Ranta. Burns a try. That's tipped over the top of Anton Forsberg. Kadri the rebound. Far side half wall, tucks underneath. Manson lets it go. Tipped. Rebound score! Wow! It's Nicholas Waugh's second overtime winner! And you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here because this party is over! Down but never out. Colorado trailed in this hockey game with 7 minutes to go in regulation. Landeskog tied it, and Nicholas Waugh gets the OT winner. Final score. Late night in downtown Denver, Colorado. For the second straight game, it's Colorado 2 and the Kings 1. The Avs will take a 2-0 series lead tomorrow to Los Angeles.
Pretty dramatic ending there in game number 2. So Colorado, with all that offense, only managed 4 goals in the 2 games. That game winner, however, by Nick Waugh, a huge one to give them a 2-0 lead in the series. And you know, you have to go to the Los Angeles losing locker room to hear some thoughts about how close they were, but also how excited they are to go back to Los Angeles for game number 3. Let's start with goaltender Anton Forsberg meeting the media.
And obviously, It's tough. The way it ends, both games, we're right there. Playing well. We're fighting. We're fighting hard. We just got to stick with it and turn this around.
Just an example of how tight the margins are in the playoffs, where it's just one bounce, one goal, pretty much, you know, every night, especially for this team.
Yeah, I mean, that's hockey. It's not a different game compared to regular season. Still, one goal. Today they got it.
But I mean, there's two ways you could look at this. You guys played outstanding in both games here, which is, you know, something positive, but then you didn't get rewarded for any of that. Is that tough to come back from that?
I mean, at the end of the day, we got to look on how we're playing. We believe in our way of playing, and I mean, we're right there with one of the best teams in the league, so we just got to stick with it and hopefully find a way here.
I guess if someone told you you'd go home with you know, 2 goals a game to these guys with this offense, you would have taken that?
I mean, no. We want to get home with 2 points. Or not, we want to go to home with a win, not 2 points.
It's such a freak occurrence in that second period with the glass breaking behind. Did you feel that that kind of disrupted anything, or you guys were able to stay steady despite?
No, I mean, I don't think it changed anything in the game. We still played our game. They played theirs. It was a 0-0 game going into the third, so I wouldn't say that was a big difference.
Anton, you talk about your, you know, it just being a hockey game. Has that been your mindset coming into your first couple of playoff games where it doesn't matter, you know, the stage, you're just trying to stop the puck?
Yeah, I mean, it is the same game. It is, obviously, everybody's trying it a little bit harder, but it's still the same game that they're playing. It's one puck, there's five players on the ice, and two goalies, or one goalie in each team, and it's the same way, so we just got to do what we do and focus on that.
Regular season to end it, you guys had that big homestand. Is it exciting to be going back home knowing that maybe getting back in LA can be the thing that flips these tight games your way?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, playoff at home is something special. Can't wait to get back there.
That's Anton Forsberg meeting with the media after game number two. Colorado leads 2-0, but as Anton told you, they're all excited about game number three in Los Angeles. They had a great homestand to finish that regular campaign. And it's also the last playoff run for Anze Kopitar, so that adds a special element to what's going on with the Los Angeles Kings. But also you get the last change, and that's what DJ Smith, the coach of the Kings, was talking about heading back to LA after game two.
We did play really well, and we'll get last change, you know, we can get our matchups a little bit better, and we're going to have to roll four lines over and be physical again. We got to find a way to win a game. Clearly good isn't, you know, enough, but we got to win a game and keep taking a piece, of them and keep playing physical but within the rules, and give ourselves a chance to keep lengthening the series.
DJ, Peter was just talking about Panarin and everything and the opportunities that he – did you like all the scoring opportunities that you got tonight? Were you happy with the ones that you got?
I mean, yeah, we had some good looks. We had some guys that were in alone. We had, I thought we really had the momentum in overtime. You know, we were out changing them at that point, and then, maybe a bad bounce or a turnover, whatever, and, you know, it ends up in your net. But you know what? To a man, this team is playing hard, and we got to find a way to win, though. Yeah, they're a good team, but we just got to do what we do, and I expect us to – we played two good games here. I expect that we'll be better at home.
Game three, Thursday night in Los Angeles, and it should be spectacular.
We continue now with the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
I'm Dan Rusinowski. Great to have you with us on this postseason program that we have on the Sharks Audio Network. Let's move on to the Utah-Vegas series. Game number one, pretty intense. Vegas was down in this one. However, they would get some veteran leadership from Mark Stone to tie the game.
Deflected pass gets to Jack Eichel. Whips it down the boards to Stone. Two men in front. Feed right. Marner to hurdle. Stop. Rebound. Score. Mark Stone. Tie game.
What a leader he's been for the Vegas Golden Knights. And, of course, Tomas Hertl's name got into Dan Dubas' play-by-play call on that one. And, of course, it came down to Nick Dowd getting the game winner.
Left circle, Sissons. Left point, Hanifin. He shoots. Redirect. Score! Double fist pump from Nick Dowd. Vegas takes a 3-2 lead. A redirection. 3 feet in front of the crease. Nick Dowd, the most veteran of all the Golden Knights, has his fifth career playoff goal.
It would wind up a 4-2 final in game number one. On to game two, the Utah Mammoth trying to get a victory on the road in Vegas. And it was tight all the way toward the end of the third period. But with exactly 6 minutes to go, it would be Logan Cooley that would get the game winner for the visitors.
The boards, Kyler Yamamoto gives way. Gunther's got it. He brings it in. Gunther getting around his man. Gunther with a shot. Stop. Off the pipe. He scores. To Utah. 8 seconds to go. In behind the net. Back out high. Fanning on it. Another shot. Clear to the corner. Out of the zone. Utah's going to win. That's it. And off the bench in a 1-1 series tie.
Matt McConnell with the call on that one on television for the Utah Mammoth. What a game that was. And now it's on to game three. And that game, of course, will be played in Utah, where the Salt Lake City fans have been great all season. And now they get a chance to check out playoff hockey. Edmonton against Anaheim. This certainly is drawing a lot of attention from Sharks fans who have watched the Anaheim Ducks improve their team through a rebuild and are looking for the same thing from their own franchise in seasons to come. Game number one, very tight contest. Edmonton finds a way to get it done as Kasperi Kapanen gets the game winner.
Slides to the left, pass to the middle, went off of Pod Colson before he could get to Terry. Nurse on the right wing to Kapanen. To Draisaitl into the Anaheim zone. Draisaitl still with it. Goes in behind the net. Couldn't get it in front of the goal. Has it on the left wing. Now behind the net for Podkolzin in front. Scores! Kasperi Kapanen has given the Oilers a 4-3 lead.
On to game two, the Anaheim Ducks needing a victory, and they would find a way to get one in Edmonton. And a big story was Cutter Gauthier, played college hockey with Will Smith at Boston College, had a couple of goals, and so did Ryan Poehling. And let's listen in to Cutter Gauthier's first one.
Left side, can't get the shot away, sent to the ice on a check from Evan Bouchard. Cutter Gauthier to left side, shoots one, scores! Gauthier from downtown off the post and in, and the Ducks tie this one up on the power play.
Wow, a rip from deep indeed. It had some steam behind that rubber.
Then Lukáš Dostál, the outstanding goaltender for the Ducks, made a big save on Leon Draisaitl to keep it even 1-1.
Sent to the near side corner, off of the draw. 17 seconds on the power play. It's tied up in the near corner and swept out to the point. Here's Draisaitl. Drifts to the center point. Leads it from McDavid right side. 24 seconds in the period now. Here's Draisaitl. One-timer. Barker save made. Rebound. Foul by Dostal. He's got the puck and a whistle.
Wow, what a great save that was. And then Jacob Trouba put the Ducks in front.
D to D pass. It's Trouba again. Sends one to the goalie. Scores! Trouba from the right point through a screen sends this one top shelf, and the Ducks take a 2-1 lead from Rogers Place.
Wow, what a goal that was too, and it was 2-1 at that point, and Alex Killorn kept going with a nice play in front.
Here's Killorn trying to feed in front, goes back to Killorn, he scores, finds his own rebound. Alex Killorn gives the Ducks a 2-goal lead.
Killer, are you kidding me? How about the effort? He doesn't get the initial opportunity, but he follows up, and boy, it is a juicy rebound. It had a bow wrapped around the top of the puck right there.
Ryan Poehling would get his first of two to make it 4-2.
It's grabbed by the Oilers.
It all started with Jacob Trouba. Oh boy, here's a turnover and collected by the Ducks.
They got a man in front. Redirect, they score! Ryan Poehling shorthanded. The Ducks regain their 2-goal lead. It's 4-2.
What a goal that was too. Shorthanded for Ryan Poehling. But as is always the case, the Edmontonians fight back and make it all even. And that set things up for Cutter Gauthier to be the big man.
Here's Lacombe, bounces one to the front, it's loose, Gauthier scores! With 4:52 on the clock, Cutter Gauthier finds the bouncing puck and drills it home. It's 5-4 Ducks.
Great goal there, and then Ryan Poehling finished it off.
Through traffic, didn't get through it, hit Lacombe, picked up by Poehling, looks for the empty net, Ryan Poehling's got it! Right down the middle of the ice, threads the needle, Poehling the empty net goal, Ducks lead 6-4.
And that's how they'd finish it up in game number two. Big win for the Anaheim Ducks, obviously a tough loss at home for the Edmontonians, and the series will shift to Anaheim, and that is going to make things awfully interesting in Southern California.
We continue now with the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Buffalo, Boston. Buffalo has not been to the playoffs since 2011. 15 years of frustration for Buffalo Sabres fans, and yet they get a go-ahead goal in Game 1 that gets the entire crowd exploding.
Swayman leaves it behind the net, but not a clear play. Quinn walks it out to the slot. Shot scores! Matthias Samuelsson! Are you kidding me? Three straight from the Sabres, and they've erased the deficit and taken their first playoff lead. It's 3-2.
Buffalo would win that game 4-3, a couple of late plays near the end of the contest, but Boston would win game number two 4-2, and now the series shifts back to Boston, and here's Lindy Ruff, morning of the game.
Lindy, what off the top can you tell us about Josh Norris's status?
Not available for tonight. Just in a right now day-to-day.
So injury, not illness, right?
Correct. Okay.
And was it the situation at the end boards from the other game?
Don't know exactly exactly what it is. So just not feeling right and unable to play.
Lindy Ruff talking about that and also talking about goaltender Alex Lyon, who had a great stretch on the road and was asked if he could explain what is it about the Sabres goaltending. They've used three different guys all season, and Lyon has been the road warrior.
Boy, a great question, but I don't know if there's anything you can point to. I think a lot of those games, he made big saves at real critical times of the game to allow us to win some of those road games. I thought some of those road games we played really well in front of them. But I think it was a combination of a lot of different things. I don't really think there's one thing, Paul, that I could point to. But he's comfortable playing whether he's at home or on the road. And I think his preparation is exactly the same when he's at home. He gets on the road. He's a very well-prepared athlete that, you know, follows a routine and gets ready to play a game. And it doesn't matter what the building looks like. And, I think that is probably one reason he put that string together.
And we move on to Montreal and Tampa Bay. What a series this is turning out to be. Of course, game one in Tampa Bay, in a very exciting contest going into overtime. And I've got two versions of the game-winning goal. Let us begin with the English version of that Juraj Slafkovský hat trick.
Still time for Montreal. 31 seconds left in this 5-on-4. Here's Caulfield up to the line. Drops it off. Suzuki works it in, up high, Hutchin, Slafkovský fires, scores! It is a hat trick for Juraj Slafkovský. Overtime winner, and game one goes to Montreal by a 4-3 final.
And here's Martin McGuire's en français version of the same play.
Il remet devant lui pour Lane Hutchin. Hutchin maintenant sonne la charge. Une passe pour Caulfield. Caulfield veut remettre derrière lui. C'est fait pour Suzuki. Suzuki attaque la ligne bleue. Le voici en zone offensive. Il dribble. Il s'installe à la pointe droite. Rejoint Hudson. L'attaque se déploie. Cercle droit. Voilà Slafkovský. Il lance et goal!
Juraj Slafkovský donne la victoire aux Canadiens. Bonne nuit, Tampa Bay. Et le Canadien remporte le match numéro 1 par le compte de 4. À 3. Il ne restait que 19 secondes sur l'avantage numérique. Et Slafkovský s'est servi de l'adversaire comme écran. Il a décoché un tir très, très vif, un tir qui a pris par surprise.
Pretty exciting hockey. And of course, after that, Tampa Bay ends up taking game number two, 3-2 in overtime on a goal by J.J. Moser. So as they approach game three, it is Cole Caulfield, that 50-goal scorer for the Canadiens, meeting the media.
Cole, a lot of attention on you and your line in Tampa Bay from the Tampa Bay Lightning, a lot of attention on you and your line from us, from the fans, from everybody. Just what do you expect of yourselves going into game three?
I think we expect more upon ourselves. From our teammates, we want more, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to, build off the energy of playing here, and being excited for that. But it's a fun time of the year to play, obviously, and it's obviously just back to 0-0, and keeping that same mentality going forward.
How can you guys create space for yourself on the ice against that line?
there's ways around it. I think, obviously, playing a little bit more with the puck, and when we don't have it, trying to get it back. I think it's pretty straightforward of what we got to do. You know, obviously there's not much room out there, but when there is, we got to take advantage of that.
Our last year against Washington was a physical team too. How that prepared yourself and your line for this year?
Honestly, you try and learn from everything. It doesn't have to be just that one series. I think a lot of the games we've played against some top teams this year have been like that. So just trying to do what we can. I think just sticking with it. It's not always going to be pretty every night, but just finding ways to get the job done is what's most important right now.
There's nothing like a playoff game in La Belle Provence and at the Bell Center in Montreal. Such exciting hockey. We'll have a lot more of that here on our Stanley Cup playoff report. Until next time, I'm Dan Rusinowski saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.